Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, we'll have a recent statement from Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission, on a recent initiative for support to mitigate unemployment risks in an emergency, or SURE for short, and on the Coronavirus Response Investment Initiative called PLUS. We'll have the statement by European Commissioner for Crisis Management, Janis Lanarčić, on the deployment of EU medical teams to Italy. We'll have a statement by Mario Centeno, President of the Eurogroup, on the recent announcement by European Finance Ministers to allocate an emergency 500 billion euro rescue plan for member states affected by COVID-19. We'll have a rundown on some of the items of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. And we'll have some great music from the Netherlands and Italy for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. More people from Poland have been granted Irish citizenships in the past 2 years than any other nationality. New figures from Eurostat show that immigrants from Romania were second on the list when it came to receiving Irish passports. The number of people from the UK granted Irish citizenship surpassed those from India in the past 2 years. Grace Bolton of the European Commission says more people from Morocco were granted EU citizenship than any other nationality.
Eurostat figures reveal the top three nationalities acquiring EU citizenship. These are Morocco with 67,000, Albania with 47,000, and Turkey with 28,000. When it comes to Ireland, 1,500 Polish citizens acquired Irish citizenship, 800 Romanians, and 680 UK citizens became Irish.
Ireland continues to be one of the lowest spenders on healthcare in the EU as a proportion of its GDP. The spend here is 7.2% of gross national income, while the EU average is 9.9%. Grace Bolton of the European Commission office in Dublin says Irish spend per capita is way behind countries like France and Germany.
When it comes to healthcare expenditure as a percentage of GDP, the EU average is 9.9%. Ireland is lower at 7.2%. At the bottom of the scale, Romania spends 5.2% of its GDP on healthcare, and at the top of the scale, France and Germany each spend 11.3% of their GDP on healthcare.
An Irish company is to receive 10 million euro from the EU Commission to develop a rapid test for COVID-19. Hypergene Diagnostics in Sandyford, Dublin is one of 17 companies in Europe to benefit from an overall EU grant of 48.5 million euro. Gerry Keighley is head of EU representation in Ireland. He says this financial commitment from the EU is a major vote of confidence in Irish expertise.
Ireland does very well in terms of European research projects, and it's very good to see that they're stepping up to the plate to deal with the COVID crisis also. It's a good sign of the expertise that exists in Ireland in the research area.
The European Commission has stepped up its engagement with member states to maximise the availability of masks, gloves, gowns and other medical supplies. The action will help companies from both EU and non-EU countries to start production swiftly and get products to the internal market more easily, while ensuring a high degree of safety. Grace Bolton of the European Commission says the move will ensure appropriate supplies are available to health professionals more quickly.
To help increase production amid the coronavirus crisis, the European Commission has ensured that European standards for medical devices and personal protective equipment have been made available online. This action will help companies who are willing to manufacture these items to swiftly begin production and place these products on the internal market for sale more quickly.
The European Commission has relaxed its state aid rules under which governments provide funding to businesses. The Commission is advancing a payment of 30 million euro to Ireland in structural funds to deal with the COVID-19 crisis. The money is being used to ensure that healthcare products are distributed to appropriate centres as quickly as possible. Gerry Keighley, who heads up EU representation in Ireland, says the money will assist health-related small and medium-sized businesses that are struggling because of difficulties caused by the virus.
The Commission has decided to advance 30 million in the case of Ireland of structural funds, which can be used for healthcare in dealing with the coronavirus to help out small and medium-sized enterprises who might be suffering from some short-term financial shocks because of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Had een idee, wat een plan over domme man. Waarom ben ik zo nerveus? Ga naar binnen, ga toch zitten en wat drinken dan. Misschien vindt ze je wel leuk. En jij haart dus elkaar en je kan een beetje lachen daar. Er is altijd een keuze. Ze kijkt je aan, de sfeer wordt plots zo serieus. Het is al laat toch, het is al laat toch, wat doen we hier nog? Het is al laat toch, het is al laat toch, wil jij je bier nog? Kom dan gaan we naar mijn huis. Ik snap het niet. Het was zo mooi, niet normaal meer allemaal. Het kan de tijd toch snel kapot. Heel het leven op de schop, op zoek naar een droomverhaal. En ik zoek mee en voel me rot. Ben ik het kwijt of heb ik iets ergens laten liggen dan? Vertel me even waar. We groeien door voor zover dat je dat zo noemen kan. We groeien verder uit elkaar. Het is al laat toch, het is al laat. Het is al laat op, het is al laat op, wat doen wij hier nog? Kom, dan gaan we naar mijn huis. Het is al laat toch, het is al laat toch, wat doen we hier nog? Het is al laat toch, het is al laat toch, dus drink je bier op en dan gaan we naar ons huis.
The euro is a flagship of European integration. Finance ministers from euro area countries meet every month to discuss all matters that affect our common currency that shapes the day-to-day lives of millions of citizens and firms across our continent. The Eurogroup is an informal body where the ministers of the euro area member states discuss matters relating to their shared responsibilities related to the euro. Its main task is to ensure close coordination of economic policies among the euro area member states. It also aims to promote conditions for stronger economic growth. European Union finance ministers just yesterday agreed a rescue package worth 500 billion euro to combat the coronavirus pandemic. This was a hard-fought and politically very divisive agreement, but on the third attempt, finance ministers forged a compromise. The package will be made up of low-cost loans and credit lines, partly involving the EU's main bailout fund, but before the resources deployed by the European Commission and the European Investment Bank. The incumbent president of the Eurogroup is Mario Centeno. He was elected to the post on the 4th of December 2017. Mr. Centeno is also Minister for Finance of Portugal. He released this welcome news through a press conference from Lisbon.
Good evening from Lisbon. Today we answer the call from our citizens for Europe that protects. It took us a total 16 and a half hours of meetings and many more in preparations, but we did it. This response contains bold and ambitious proposals that would have been unthinkable just a few weeks ago. We can all remember the response to the financial crisis of the last decade, when Europe did too little, too late. This time around is different. I want to focus on three safety nets we are weaving together. One for workers, one for businesses, and another one for countries. Let me first talk about workers and the self-employed. What the Commission has called SURE. This will put together our collective financial strength at the national and European levels to channel up to 100 billion euros to the national systems facing the greatest pressures. The second safety net is for businesses facing difficulties, in particular SMEs. This is why today we have welcomed the initiative of the EIB to create a pan-European shield which aims to guarantee 200 billion euros of lending with a focus on small and medium enterprises. Again, this scheme is based on our collective financial strength at the national and European levels. Because we are stronger, that is the safety net for firms. Finally, the safety net for member states. Today, we agreed to establish pandemic crisis support for the amount of 2% of member states' GDP. That is close to 240 billion euros. Let me wrap up. Today, we agreed three safety nets and a plan for the recovery to ensure we grow together and not apart once the virus is behind us. I will report to leaders on our achievements. All these build on our collective financial strength and our European solidarity. The numbers and quality of the proposals we take to European Council reveal that, in the face of a tremendous threat to our lives and institutions, we are ready to bury our differences. At the end of the day, or should I say, at the end of the third day, an appropriate number for the season, what matters the most is that we rose to the challenge. Our citizens expect and deserve nothing else. Thank you.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Just recently, Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission, gave a press conference in Brussels on a temporary initiative called SURE, which stands for Support to Mitigate Unemployment Risks in an Emergency, and on the Coronavirus Response Investment Initiative Plus. The Commission also proposed to redirect all available structural funds in the response to the coronavirus crisis.
In the present circumstances, fighting to save people's lives and to protect people's livelihood is the overriding mission of all public authorities across the European Union. And the Commission is doing just that. When Europe was freezing up with uncoordinated border closures and export bans, we acted to keep goods and key personnel moving to where they were needed. That was the most urgent task, and I think that things are improving right now. In parallel, we moved to give the member states all the breathing space they needed to provide the necessary oxygen to their economies, their business, and the workers. So how did we do that? We put in place the most flexible state aid framework ever. It is unprecedented. And we triggered for the very first time the general escape clause. And this allowed a massive injection of liquidity into the European economy. The ECB launched purchasing programs, and the EIB provided a dedicated corona response to give loans to small and medium enterprises hit by the corona crisis. All of this has been done in record time, and it helped keep the European economy on its feet. But behind these big concepts are people. So today, besides liquidity and other support, we are introducing a new proposal to kind of preserve the vibrant heart of the European economy, and this is its skilled workforce. The lockdown paralyzed the demand and it paralyzed the supply. Many companies are now left with no income, and if we do nothing, they have to lay off their workers, their employees. And this has, as a consequence, when the engine will restart, when the world economy will restart, they will not have the skilled workforce they need to take the offers. So we will lose markets, and this will limit our recovery. And this is why we introduced today SURE. SURE is Europe-supported short-time work. It can mitigate the effects of the recession. It keeps people in work. It enables companies to return to the market with renewed vigor. The Commission will provide loans to those member states that need them to strengthen their short-time work schemes. These schemes now exist and are planned straight across the European Union. So SURE can benefit all member states who want to use it. We can mobilize 100 billion euros to do this, and this will be made possible thanks to member states' guarantees of 25 billion. And this is European solidarity in action. The structural funds can also be of help here to keep people in employment. We take out conditions to ease the access to European money. So full flexibility across regions, across priorities in every country. We recognize that member states are already investing massively to deal with the corona crisis, and therefore there is no reason to ask them for additional national funding. All of this will allow member states to access all the remaining funding that they are entitled to, and this very quickly. These are the central planks of today's proposal. We have also adopted other measures to help in particular fishermen and the most vulnerable in society. For those proposals to become reality, I count on Parliament and Council to act swiftly. This huge package we have today is our second step in our response to the corona crisis. To date, the European Union, that is the European institutions and member states, have mobilized 2,770 billion euros. And this is the largest answer to a European crisis ever given. But we need to start preparing the long-term recovery. And this will take a lot of strength and a lot of breath. And there, the European budget, the so-called MFF, is our strongest. It is our most important instrument. It is established. It is trusted by all member states. And it is accepted as an outstanding tool of investment and convergence. So I think the next European budget, as a central pillar, will have to embody our response to the corona crisis.
A team of European doctors and nurses from Romania and Norway were recently dispatched to Milan and Bergamo to help Italian medical staff working to battle the coronavirus. They were deployed through the EU civil protection mechanism. Austria has also offered over 3,000 litres of disinfectant to Italy via the mechanism. The Commission will coordinate and co-finance this European assistance. Janez Lanarčić, Commissioner for Crisis Management, said, "I thank Romania, Norway and Austria for coming to Italy's support in a time that is so difficult for the whole continent. This is EU solidarity in action. Our EU Emergency Response Coordination Centre is working 24/7 with all member states to make sure help is channeled to where it's needed most."
In these challenging times, when the whole world is struggling with the novel coronavirus, I am particularly pleased that today I can announce a team of European doctors and nurses from Romania and another one from Norway to be deployed to Italy. We all know for some time that Italy has been struck by this virus particularly hard. We also remember that initially there was an inadequate response to the Italian request for assistance from other EU member states. But things have changed now, and the reality is that Italy is not alone. The reality is that Europe stands in solidarity with Italy. So through the European Union Civil Protection Mechanism, today these two medical teams are being dispatched to Bergamo and to Milano, two cities that have been hard hit by the outbreak. They are going there to help their Italian colleagues in their bitter fight against this outbreak. Next to this, I would also like to mention that Austria has offered over 3,000 liters of disinfectant to Italy, also via our civil protection mechanism. Our European Emergency Response Coordination Center has coordinated and co-financed this European assistance. It is working 24 hours, 7 days a week with all member states to make sure that help is channeled to where there is most need. Allow me to recall that ever since the virus has arrived to Europe, the Commission's number one priority has always been to save as many lives as possible. Obviously, this would not be possible without the dedicated medical staff who represent the true symbol of European solidarity. Therefore, I would like to thank today to Romania, to Norway, and to Austria for coming to Italy's support in a time that is so difficult, difficult for everyone, for the entire continent and the world. This is European Union solidarity in action. At the same time, I'm also pleased that Italy has activated the European Union's Copernicus satellite system to help them map health facilities as well as public spaces so as to get clear understanding of activities, including activities in public spaces, during the coronavirus emergency. Last but not least, yesterday, Italy also received a delivery of personal protective equipment, which was donated by China to the European Union. Several EU member states have also sent protective equipment bilaterally to Italy, equipment such as masks, overalls, and ventilators on their own. Some others have been taking Italian patients for treatment in their hospitals in their countries. Meanwhile, the number of cases in Spain has surpassed those in Italy. We are conscious of that, and we are working on that too. There will soon be a delivery of personal protective equipment through the Union Civil Protection Mechanism, equipment that is being donated by Taiwan. We are, in this respect, in touch with the Spanish authorities. All in all, I'm glad that things are improving. I'm glad that assistance is coming. And I'm particularly pleased that it has now become clear, apparently, that only together and by pooling our resources, we can overcome this unprecedented challenge. Thank you.
Tu non lo dici ed io non lo vedo. L'amore cieco siamo noi di sbieco. Un battibecco nato su un letto. Un diluvio universale, un giudizio sotto il tetto. Up con un po' di down. Silenzio rotto per un grande sound. Semplici eppure complessi. Libri aperti in equilibrio tra segreti e compromessi. Facili occasioni per difficili concetti. Anime purissime e sporchissimi difetti. Fragili combinazioni tra ragione ed emozioni. Solitudini e condivisioni. Ma se dovessimo spiegare in pochissime parole il complesso meccanismo che governa l'armonia del nostro amore, basterebbe solamente dire, senza starci troppo a ragionare, che sei tu che mi fai stare bene quando io sto male e viceversa. Che sei tu che mi fai stare bene quando io sto male e viceversa. E detto questo, che cosa ci resta dopo una vita al centro della festa? Protagonisti e numeri uno, invidiabili da tutti, indispensabili a nessuno. Madre che dice del padre, avrei voluto solo realizzare il mio ideale, una vita normale. Ma l'amore di normale non ha neanche le parole. Parlano di pace, fanno la rivoluzione. Dittatori in testa e partigiani. Abbandonati all'emozione. Ma se dovessimo spiegare in pochissime parole il complesso meccanismo che governa l'armonia del nostro amore, basterebbe solamente dire, senza starci troppo a ragionare.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the program. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. You can text us on 087-977-1032. 087-977-1032. And don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to some of the items that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.